Amen. Please be seated. We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. It's living, it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice. Uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we do need to know what it says, and we do need to believe what it says. Hear God's word this morning as it comes to us out of Romans chapter 12. It could be the entire first eight verses. I'm just going to read to you verses 4 through 8. Just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for your blessings, and they are many. Thank you for your word, your truth given to us. And maybe most importantly, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Because it's your Spirit, Lord, who really teaches us, who opens our hearts and our minds to understand what you're trying to say to us. Who shapes us, who forms us, transforms us bit by bit into the people of God, the person of God that you want us to be. So Lord, we pray for that miracle even this morning as we gather around your word. Pour out your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Upon. Amen. People magazine had an article some years ago about a fellow by the name of J. Paul Barnett. You maybe probably didn't ever hear of J. Paul Barnett. He was an unusual musician. He was a concussionist. Now notice I didn't say percussionist, right? He wasn't a percussionist. He didn't play the drums. I'm going to part a little bit. Sometimes when we say we don't want drums in church, well, we don't want concussionists in church either. Just a word. No, he played the canon. For years, he had a hobby of building antique firearms and things of that nature, especially cannons. And then he discovered that this hobby could be translated into a symphony performance by providing the cannon sounds for works like Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture and many others. He readily admitted that in his early days, he wasn't too good at it. Musical attempts sometimes didn't go very well. Sometimes there were pops instead of booms. Sometimes the timing was just a little bit off, and sometimes there was absolutely misfires. However, he kept developing his gift and finally became a well-known concussionist within a number of famous orchestras. When I read about this man's gift, his crazy vocation, I thought about the mosaic of the body of Christ. different interests, different talents, different skills. Some we may not have even dreamed of. All put together into the body of Christ. Paul says in Romans 12, just as each of us has one body and many members of that body, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. God has created us as individuals, but God has also created us together. As individuals, none of us have the same fingerprints, the same footprints, same DNA. We know all that. We're different. At the most basic level of our existence, we are all unique individuals. But within that uniqueness, there's just one individual, one whole, one person, one body, made up of a lot of unique, thankfully, unique and different parts. When you think about it, we have eyes, we have ears, we have legs. Paul talks in many of his letters about the body and the different functions and uses of the body. Everybody can't be an eye and everybody can't be an ear, you know. Even the parts that are, as he called them, less comely. There are a lot of parts that are not so visible, all down inside us and everywhere else. All different, but all working together. Or we're not a healthy person, right? When those parts get astray. And some of us can testify to that when parts go awry. I had a privilege this past week of having a picture taking of my heart. Some of you have had this before. I know Pete gets this done regularly. Many of you others may also, but this was my first adventure. And I was watching this screen, and I was watching my heart as this guy moves this little thing over around this echo image. And that little guy's just a chirping on, you know, doing what he's supposed to do. All the little chambers squeezing, all the little valves opening and closing, everything just sort of a symphony, a harmony of rhythm going on. Working together in perfect rhythm. Amazing. You know that psalmist was right. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, Paul uses that very same analogy of a healthy individual with many parts and members working together in rhythm, in symphony, in harmony, and he applies that to the body of Christ. To the body of Christ. The body of Christ, or we might say the church with a capital C, made up of you and me, unique individuals, who, as Paul said, don't have the same function. We're not all alike. We're not meant to be alike. The body would not be healthy if we were all alike. We're unique. We're special. Created by God to make His body do what it's supposed to do for His glory and His purposes. Now, I know you may sit there and think, well, I wish that fellow next to me was a little more like me. Or you can think of probably two or three folks that maybe are irregular parts of the body, right? I can. If you can't, if you need help, see me after church. But even those parts have a purpose. Every part has a function in the body. In the body. Look at verse 6. And we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, that's speaking forth the word, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of gifts. I mean, we find them in several places in Paul's writings in Scripture. And Paul's saying all sorts of gifts given to all sorts of individuals, and we're supposed to be using them. Using them. You know, where would we be if our heart decided it wasn't going to work? Or if one of those little old flapper valves started, it wasn't going to work. It's tired. Been clicking a long time. I've done this, been doing this for many years. I think it's time for me to take a break. No, we don't want that. I want you to particularly notice the words in this passage. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. You know, what that says is we don't choose our gift. We don't choose it. God gives it to us according to the grace given to us. That means that every Christian, all of us, every one of us, have gifts that we're supposed to be using for God, for His purposes, for His glory. I mean, ask yourself, how much grace has God given you? Me. How much grace do we have? Often people are afraid to get involved in ministry or afraid to take responsibility because they feel inadequate. They don't feel like they have the right stuff. Not sure they're up to the task. You know, I don't know the Bible well enough, or I'm uncomfortable in front of a lot of people, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or on and on. Remember when God called Moses from the burning bush? You know, that bush that miraculously burned but didn't burn up. Interesting bush. And God spoke to Moses from that bush, and as he spoke, Moses just kept making excuse after excuse after excuse, didn't he? When he finally followed God's call, and he used the gifts that God gave him, look what happened. Look what happened. I think sometimes we don't understand what the Bible is trying to say about spiritual gifts or grace gifts. God calls us to do His work in this world. And then He equips us for that work. And God didn't look at you and say, well, there's a fine man. He's a good carpenter. I'm going to use him to do carpentry work. And that's not what we're talking about at all. Not at all. God calls us to do His work. What is God's work? In Luke, Jesus says that His work was to seek and to save the lost. God's work, to seek and to save the lost. And what does He then want us to do? I certainly would guess it's somewhat similar, wouldn't you? And maybe we should know it for sure when He comes along in Matthew and tells us, go into all the world and make disciples. He equips us with His special abilities to do our part in His work. Our part. God has designed things so that all of us have areas where we can contribute. Areas because He's given them to us. And needs because they are there. We can function as a part of His body. And we have areas where we need the contributions of others. Because it's one unit, And if we're not functioning one with another, then we're not functioning at all. And the trick is to do the things that we can do, realizing that we cannot do everything and need the gifts of others in those areas. You know, I'm old enough to remember the era of the Boston Celtics, back when they were the NBA team. It's been a while. Red Auerbach, coach. Auerbach had a reputation of being able to use older players, older stars, actually recruited them into his team way past their prime. And his secret was he would sit down with these players and he would explain what he expected them to contribute. Most always the role was far diminished from what they were. They were superstars in their era. They were the glowing people. Now he wanted them to be somewhat part-time players, bit players, if you would. But yet they had a very important part. And that's why he'd recruit them, because they were good at this particular aspect or that particular aspect. And he told them, if you will focus on what you can still do well, instead of what you once could do, you can help our team a lot. And he made championship teams with that formula. And God's sort of saying the same thing to us. We need to focus on His grace gift. That's what we can do well. No matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, no matter how, whatever, healthy we are, what has God graced us with that He needs in the body to make it healthy? To make it healthy. We don't need to be superstars. God rarely calls superstars, you know. We're not all Billy Grahams or famous preachers out there doing those kinds of things. No. We all have gifts, God gifts. We just need to use them in concert with others for His glory. So probably the question that we've all struggled with is then, what are my gifts? What gift has God given me? And, you know, they're really not like ornaments on a Christmas tree. You know, they're not the little shiny things. I hope you're getting that. Indeed, you may not even know your gifts until you respond to a need. Think about that. You don't just show up and say, well, I can do this. Is there a need for this anywhere? You know, that's not how it works. You are called or brought to a situation, to a body, even like First Church. And you see a need. And you wonder, can I meet that need? Or you hear that still small voice saying, you can do that. You respond to the need, and your gift is revealed. Spiritual gifts, grace gifts within the body of Christ, they're very different from talents. It's not something that you've practiced and worked on and sort of have naturally. Some people can sing. Some of us shouldn't sing too loud. Some of us can do things with our hands. And some just aren't that gifted. We all have a gift, though. We all have a gift. That's what God's saying. May not know what God has enabled us. We may not particularly see this gift on the outside. But it will appear as we respond to a need. For example, some of the finest preachers that the church has ever produced weren't particularly talented as orators. Some had to deal with speech deficiencies. They had impediments that they had to overcome. Some were extremely nervous, didn't want to get up in front of people at all. Others had other defeating type situations, which all became in God's hand tools to make them gifted preachers. Gifted in every sense of the word. You see, it's something God does, not something we do. It's interesting that in this particular list of gifts in Romans 12, Paul includes contributing to the needs of others generously. You know, you think about that. Well, what's so gifted about that? Or leading diligently, or doing acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, maybe the key words are generously and diligently and cheerfully. That takes maybe a special gift to exercise in those ways. But obviously, these gifts don't require a lot of talent, do they? They don't require a lot of skill. But they do require the grace gift of a right heart, don't they? They do require the grace gift of eyes that are looking for and seeing a need, seeing an opportunity, and having the unction or receiving the unction to respond to that need. You know, there are needs and opportunities all around us. Trust me. All around. And quite often, we don't even know we have a particular gift until we see that need and respond to it. How many times have people been through the valley of suffering, and those very people have been the ones to turn and been able to minister to others who are going through that same situation? God can use our weaknesses as well as our strengths. He can use the hard lessons that we've learned as well as our youthful enthusiasms. The important thing to remember is that every one of us has gifts to offer. Every one of us. Paul said it, we have gifts according to the grace given to us. And God has indeed poured out His grace upon us. Dr. Criswell, noted preacher and pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas for years. He told of a man named Tony in his church who had come to his study and helped him take off his coat, hang it up on a rack. When it came time for Dr. Criswell to go to the pulpit, this man would go before him and hold the door open. It was all he could do. But he did it unto the Lord. And some of the members of First Baptist, you know, they told Tony that he was bothering the pastor. And so Tony came to Dr. Criswell and he asked him, he said, "Am I bothering you? Is this true?" And Dr. Criswell assured him that it was not true. "No, sir, you don't bother me at all. I appreciate what you do." Well, this church grew to over 25,000 members. And when the church built a new activities building, the pastor study was across the street. On the first Sunday of using the new building, Tony asked Dr. Criswell if he might walk across the street before him and hold the door open for him. And Criswell told him that would be great. Tony went ahead, proudly held the door open as his pastor entered the church auditorium. A few days later, Tony suddenly died. And Criswell, during the funeral service, said that maybe it was just a wild fancy, but he believed that when he got to heaven, Tony would be there to open the door. He couldn't do much. He was limited physically, mentally, but he did what he could. He did what God had enabled him to do for the glory of God and the blessing of the body of Christ. We have some talented folks in this church, and some of them are using their talents in wonderful ways to serve God. We also have some truly gifted folks in our church, and that would be all of us. All of us. And God is calling us to utilize these over and above grace gifts that He has given to us to work together for the building of His kingdom. The body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ on earth, born by His sacrifice on the cross and called to make disciples of all nations, to work together and so love each other and so work with each other that we reflect His kingdom to a world that desperately needs to know that kingdom and to know Him. I would never have dreamed that a fellow who fires cannons would fit into an orchestra. Would you? Maybe you never dreamed that God would use you. But He does. That's why He made us. That's why He made you and me. The kingdom of God is like that. The body of Christ is like that. A place, a need for every member. A God gift for every one of us to blend together into His symphony of love. That, as Paul said in verse 1 of this chapter, is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Let's pray together.